morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Wednesday, April 17th, 2019. We have about 26 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have south winds 10 to 15 knots, wind waves from the south 3 feet high at 4 seconds in the forecast, and west swells 7 to 8 feet at 16 seconds apart. Conditions in the ocean offshore this morning, winds were from the south is about an hour ago from a data buoy that is out in the ocean about 20 miles offshore off the mouth of the Columbia River. South winds, winds from the south 14 knots, gusting to 18 this morning. Waves west-northwest 8 feet high at 16 seconds being registered at that buoy. Air temperature was 50 degrees and water temperature very close to that, 51 degrees. So hypothermia territory there. You don't want to be in the water at those temperatures. And today we're going to talk a little bit about one of the most famous disasters in the maritime realm. And that's the Titanic, which sank April 15th in 1912 in the North Atlantic, 107 years ago. So this was a landmark in the sense of it changed a lot of things in the maritime industry. When they took a look at the lessons to be learned from this terrible disaster, there were over 2,200 people on the Titanic, and 1,500 of them, more than that, more than 1,500 of them died. So a lot of lessons were learned that have made ships safer today. So we have benefited from the disaster, this terrible lessons learned. But we'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. But first, let's take a look at who's coming and going on the river today. We have 7 inbounders, 10 in between the Astoria and Rice Island anchorages in our area here off Astoria, and 7 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Belle Ocean, arriving from China, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She probably will arrive there around 9 o'clock. She's going to be heading upriver eventually to pick up wheat, so she's a dry bulk carrier. The Glovis Captain is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia. She's a car carrier. Probably will pass Astoria around 12:30 p.m. and get to Vancouver by about 6:30. She has Subarus on board, and car carriers are very distinctive looking. They look like a big floating barn, very, very high sides. They look really odd if you're used to the somewhat sleek, typical lines of a ship, but they're very utilitarian and very well-designed ships and very well-powered ships. So even though they look a little bit ungainly, they're actually quite high-tech. And that's how we get most of our cars. So if you drive a Subaru or ever have in this area, you probably got it from a ship that came into Vancouver. The Frederik Oldendorf is arriving from Russia, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She, I believe, is going to go up to Portland to pick up potash eventually. She will pass Astoria around 2:30 p.m. and glide to a stop in our anchorage here somewhere in the anchorage off the downtown waterfront. The Scythia Greka is arriving from South Korea, headed for the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Tongue Point, just so within sight of Astoria, but a little bit more upriver. She'll probably pass Astoria around 4:30 p.m. and glide up into the Rice Island area, drop her anchor there. The ISS Spirit is arriving from South Korea, headed for Longview. I believe she is passing Astoria maybe around 8:30 p.m., so maybe midnight before she reaches Longview, but she's going there to pick up wheat. The African Rook is arriving from China, headed for the Vancouver anchorage, passing Astoria around 11:30, maybe 5:30 a.m. before she gets to Vancouver. She's going to the anchorage there, but she'll eventually be going to the port of Portland to pick up potash. So we often have ships going up to that Vancouver anchorage and waiting, and then going from those that anchorage area to other areas in Portland and also the Vancouver port of Vancouver itself, which is right there. The Nord Pluto is arriving from Japan, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She's another wheat ship. She'll arrive there at about 11:30 tonight. In the Astoria anchorage, we have the Belle Ocean that will arrive today. And we'll head up to Kalama to pick up wheat at about 5 p.m. The TRF Kobe is headed from the Astoria anchorage to Port Westward, which is Klatskanai, to pick up ethanol. She's a tanker. Priscilla Venture is in the Astoria anchorage awaiting orders, along with the Ogna, the Bali, the CSSC Heimei, and the Ipsy Colossus. They're all awaiting orders off the downtown waterfront in Astoria. And then the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria on the Washington side, past Tongue Point, is the BLC First, the Peak Liberty, and the BTG Rainier. And our outbounders, we have the Florida. She's a tanker heading out of Portland with refined petroleum on board around 9 a.m., so that would put her past Astoria around 3 p.m. The Sea Melody 1 is leaving Longview with wheat on board at about 11 o'clock, so about 3.5 hours later, you might see her past Astoria. The Inca Queen is leaving Vancouver with wheat on board at about 2:30 p.m., so maybe 8:30 p.m. past Astoria. The Chris is a bulk carrier leaving Klamath with wheat on board at about 5 p.m., so maybe 10 p.m. past Astoria. The K Asian Beauty is leaving Portland. She's a Hyundai with a car carrier with Hyundais on board, maybe even some Fords. The Capitan Georgis is leaving Kalama with corn, soy, or wheat on board around 7 p.m. And the Sagami is leaving Vancouver with refined petroleum on board around midnight, so maybe about 6 p.m. outbound. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Titanic. You know, when I was growing up, A Night to Remember was the big black and white film that was all about this disaster. And then, of course, there came in later years the James Cameron film, which just made the Titanic a big in forefront in everybody's mind as a hit film that very well described the disaster. But this was quite a game changer in the maritime industry. The Titanic hit an iceberg in the North Atlantic on April 15th, 1912, so 107 years ago. There's so many things that I could tell you about this. One time I gave a talk about this, and I talked for at least half an hour, and I didn't say everything you could possibly say about it. But one of the interesting just tidbits of information about her was that she was the RMS Titanic. She was a Royal Mail ship. So in addition to, we didn't have the communications that we have now, and at that time, mail was carried on ships, and this was a Royal Mail carrying ship. So she was like an official carrier of mail across the ocean. So when the ship sank, a lot of mail and packages were also lost. She was considered unsinkable, partly because she had partially watertight compartments that were not sufficient to help her in this situation. She sank anyway. There were problems with the steel used to build the ship. It became brittle in very cold water, and the water temperature was just an astonishing 28 degrees Fahrenheit. Because it was salt water, it was still liquid. But people who jumped into the water had no chance at all. 28 degrees Fahrenheit, you have almost no time at all before hypothermia and immobility sets in that kind of cold water. So the people who ended up in the water were pretty much doomed. And one of the problems there was that there were not enough lifeboats on the Titanic for all of the people on board. Just mind-bogglingly, the law did not require ships to have enough lifeboats for everyone. They had life jackets, but that was not enough in this case. So the loss of the ship caused important changes in the maritime industry that are with us today. And I can just tell you about a few of them. It caused the creation of something that is kind of a household word in the maritime industry, SOLAS, the Convention for the Safety of Life at Sea. It's an international convention that governs safety on ships and set standards that were not there before. Some of them had to do with mandating lifeboats. But there were a lot of other safety. So this SOLAS regulation has been amended, and essentially every time there has been a disaster since and they learn lessons, they change things to make things safer. So now there is a standard to meet as far as safety in the maritime industry that is constantly being updated. They also created the Radio Act of 1912 that made it mandatory for ships to operate their radios 24 hours a day, because before they would shut their radios off at dark, and so all night long a ship could send a distress signal and no one would hear them. And so one of the problems the Titanic had was that this was happening at least partially at night. People didn't hear that she had a problem. It also mandated that one of the changes were to say that if a ship sent up flares, it was definitely a distress signal, because when people saw flares going up from the Titanic from some ships that were close enough to see her, they thought she was celebrating her maiden voyage. So all these misunderstandings that could have gotten people help were rectified in the aftermath of this. It made sea travel much safer. So anyway, we honor the people who gave their lives on that day so that everything could be safer now. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.